music for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday I'll stand, and there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, and I'm across that river to where my faith shall end inside, and there's just a few more days to labor. I will take my heavenly flight. Oh, Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and stand, and there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, and I'm looking
across the river.
Across that river.
I am too, man. Great day.
To where my faith will end.
What a song.
Inside. For there's just a few.
We'll be back to that here in a little bit, okay? Hear the rest of that good song. Welcome. Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast, whatever you call it on the OEN, with radio, it's Open Bible Dialogue, with internet and with Facebook, it's Open Bible Telecast, but it's all the same. And we welcome you. We welcome you today. Come up hither. I want you to think of those words. Come up hither. They're only spoken in that fashion one time in the whole Bible. One time in the whole Bible, we hear that statement, come up hither. It doesn't happen at any other time. It can't happen at any other time, exactly as that's going to be. So those words, come up hither, and that's in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, and verse 1. We're going to go read that in a little bit, but I want to read something in the book of Luke, the exact words of Jesus Christ. Now, we're talking today about come up hither. We're talking about the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture. It can only occur, this main rapture, this pre-tribulation rapture, before the seven-year tribulation period begins. And I am bold to say, if you don't understand or believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you either uneducated biblically or you are a backslider and you've turned away from the truth. That's how seated and how set in the Bible the great rapture of the church before the tribulation period. Now, let me read to you the words of Jesus. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Listen now. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Oh, that's this generation. I believe that. Excuse me. Heaven and earth shall pass away. I like this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words, the words of Christ, the words of this Bible, they shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves. Now, you got to hear this. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Take heed to yourselves. This broadcast is my effort with all the love of my heart to warn you, it's time to take heed to yourself. It's time to get yourself serious about the coming of the Lord. Take heed of yourselves, lest, notice that word lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come up on you unaware. I don't think there's anything I could say to all of my great friends around the world, on internet, on radio, anywhere you're hearing or watching. I don't think there's anything I could say to you more overwhelming than to say, take heed to yourselves, lest the cares of this life, drunkenness, he names that, being intoxicated with just cares, with things, with pleasure, whatever you're intoxicated with. It can include alcohol, but it can include anything else. For as a snare, now you've got to hear this, as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. For as a snare, now you hear people say it, oh, the tribulation will only touch people in the Middle East. Well, you better listen to Jesus. He said, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, when you hear words like that, you don't listen to nobody who tries to deny that it's a worldwide event. North to south, east to west, there's no limits. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy. The Lord makes that decision, not Joe Chambers and nobody else either, but that you may be accounted worthy. God alone can count you worthy to escape. Say those words with me, escape, E-X-C-A-P-E, escape all those things that shall come to pass, and then to stand before the Son of Man. Now, I want to talk to you today about come up hither, and I want to get right down in the nitty-gritty of what is about to happen in this great event called the rapture. Now, maybe next week, a week after next, we'll spend a season of time trying to show people the darkness that's coming, the hellishness that's coming. These things that's about to come to pass are overwhelming, brothers and sisters, friends, unsaved friends, just anybody, the face of this earth that may be listening to Pastor Chambers. For as a snare shall it come on all them, that's every human being, every person, the entire world population, on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Don't pay these people no attention who try to tell you the tribulation period is only the Middle East. It is just what Jesus said it right. You can believe what the Son of God said. Isn't that wonderful? Watch ye therefore, that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Notice that all these things. My friend, I'm here to tell you, if I could give you a picture of exactly all that's going to happen immediately starting after that rapture, you wouldn't want to miss it for nothing on the face of this earth. It would frighten you to your wits if you could know what is about to happen on this earth. You can look at it. Look at the world. Look at the fussing. Look at the growling. Look at every effort being made now to stop the president that has our good things in mind, has the values, the standards, the morals that used to be so great in America that have gone down the tube under the wickedness of wicked politicians and wicked people. And he's trying to reestablish them. And he's going through hell. I mean, they would destroy him. There's so many of them that have talked about killing him. I mean, it's amazing the things that they're saying. And now, he's not some angel. He makes mistakes. I don't believe he's a born-again man. I believe he's a believer in the Bible in certain parts of it, whatever part he knows. And I'm certainly praying for him. But I'm here to tell you something, friend. We are living in a dark hour. It's overwhelming. Wherefore, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And to stand before the Son of Man. Now, I want to take you to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, and I'm going to show you the picture of the rapture actually occurring. Actually occur in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, and we see it perfectly. I mean, how can you doubt it when you see it in the Bible as plain as it is? Brother Chambers does everything in his power to make it plain. I want you to see it. Listen to this. This John, now this is John the Revelator. He's having this great vision. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He's dwelling in a cave there where he's trying to escape the heat probably, and maybe apparently this is the Sabbath day that he's getting this vision. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now notice that a door was opened in heaven. Did you know? There's not another place in the Bible where it says a door was opened in heaven. It says that they saw an opened door. But here it is, the door opening. The door opening. And John saw it. This is the rapture. There's really no other way to see it but the rapture. The door is open between heaven and earth. Never happened before. Never happened before, but it will begin to happen at this time, and then will continue right on through the 7-year tribulation period. Now, I'm telling you, that's the picture. And you can't really see it no other way. A door was opened in heaven. And when you don't find that anywhere else, you better stop and take heed. Something's happening. Something is happening that's breathtaking. Now, it doesn't stop with a door open in heaven. It then says, and the first voice which I heard was as the voice of a trumpet, which saith unto me, come up hither. Come up hither. Now, that, again, does not happen anywhere else in the Bible in this fashion. Doesn't happen. Over in Revelation, you'll see him calling people hither as the process continues. But this is the beginning. This is it. This is the rapture of the saints of the living God. The rapture of the bride of Jesus Christ. And you're seeing events here that occur no other place. This is unique. This is the revelation of God. The revelation of God that is given to John. And the Bible says, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Come up hither. Oh, I like that. Come up hither. You know, when you hear words like this and you see scriptures like this, and John's having this revelation, he's actually seeing this and hearing it at the same time. This is a revelation that God is giving to John the Revelator. Let me read on. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which are to come. I will show thee things which must be hereafter, are the exact words. I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now you see, here is a transition moment. Everything is transitioning from the church and the seven letters to the seven churches, which is the church as a whole throughout all generations. And then you suddenly move into this great transition in which you hear, I see first a door opened in heaven. Then you hear a voice that says, come up hither. And then the voice which says, come up hither, says, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. These things have got to happen after the church. They've got to happen. John just finished hearing the seven letters to the seven churches, and now he sees this transitional moment when he sees the door open in heaven. He hears a voice, come up hither, and then he hears that voice continue, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And then you know what verse 2 says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, you're talking about a scripture that's overwhelming. I plan to preach from here in the morning. If you want to hear me preach on about this great chapter in the morning, you ought to come, and you ought to hear. Because I'm telling you, we are so close to this moment. You can see it in these four things that I've shown you right now. Okay, would you remember them? I want you to write them down up here on your noggin, okay? Number one, a door opened in heaven. Number two, I heard a voice as of a trumpet. See the sounding of the trumpet. I heard a voice as of a trumpet. Come up hither. And then I was in the Spirit and saw the throne set in heaven. Now, you can't make anything out of this but the rapture of the bride of Jesus Christ. The moment of our disappearing. Now, let me tell you something that's exciting. Read the book of Revelation. The church is named all through Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, and in 7, the church is out of focus. It disappears, so it were, from the scripture. But it's not disappearing from the scripture, actually. It's just changing location. It moves from down here to up there. That's the rapture. That's when the rapture takes place. Revelation chapter 4, it's as beautiful as you can imagine. It really is. Now, what I want to do today is I want to try to take you through a wonderful list of things that will occur in this great period of church history. And I want you involved. So get your phone. I've already shown you the numbers, but I always show them to you one more time, okay, and sometimes two more times. But I want to show you the phone numbers, and I want you to call me, 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free number anywhere in America and Canada, 1-800-33-TRUTH. 33-TRUTH. That's 3387884. Okay? Now get your phone, because I want to talk to everybody out there that will let me and help you understand this great pre-tribulation event. There are other scriptures in the Bible that support it. There are many of them. I read to you Luke 21. That's powerful, man. Luke 21 is just as much proof as this is. And then you got many other proofs of similar force and power. A friend, we are living in this hour. I am of the opinion, and listen to me, I'm not prophesying. I'm just giving you my opinion. But I believe the rapture will take place before December the 31st, 2018. I believe the rapture will take place before the next 10 months after this month is over. Sometime this year, I am really believing that rapture is going to occur. You can't set dates. You can't say it's got to occur in that period of time. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I believe it will. I actually believe we're at the moment of the rapture, and that everything is so shaping up for this grand event. I see no way to get around it happening within this very short, limited period of time. If it takes longer before he decides to send his son, I'll be waiting, and I'll be preaching, and I'll be giving my best until he either takes me to heaven or he allows me to go by way of the grave. Whichever it may be, I'm excited. I sit here today studying and writing down notes and thinking about you and how I want to convince you of what I'm talking about. And I get so thrilled and I start weeping or I start shouting sometimes, just plain shouting, because I'm telling you, friend, it is at the door. It is at the door. It is almost over and I want you to go. Now grab your phone, 1-800. We've got four lines coming in. And so we can take four calls and they'll put them on hold and I'll take you one at a time. I want to hear from you. I really do want to hear from you. Well, I can't read that, so you have to bring it closer. I'm sorry about that. Something wrong with sound. Well, I'm probably too loud. I get too loud sometimes. Can you hear me now? Is that okay? Give me a thumbs up if it is. I'll just turn me down, which I hate to do. I like me up. I like to sound a little louder, but I cut it down. So that was probably what's wrong, okay? Let me know if that's too loud, and I'll cut it down a little more, and then I can hear as good, but you can hear, okay? I presume everything's okay. I sure hope it is. I want you to hear this program, and I want it to change your life. I want it to stir you and awake you and excite you, and I want you to get ready for the coming of the Lord. I really do. The Lord's coming is at the door. The Lord's coming. Now, let's get into this discussion. Give me hands up, by the way, thumbs up if it's okay now. I had me too high. I tend to do that, and I have to cut me down, and I'm willing and ready to do it, but sometimes it's hard for me to do. But, you know, doing this for you and bringing you this broadcast is always my joy and my delight. And, of course, all my needles and everything shows fine, so I presume everything's fine. Now give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. 338-7884. Call quickly. Forgive me for having my sound too loud, will you? Will you forgive me? Hey, will you forgive me? Hold your thumbs up out there if you're forgiving me. Well, I couldn't see them. Now, I want to talk about a lot of things that has to do with this time of church history. You may not understand this, but I want to tell you, the rapture is the greatest event of church age. Probably the greatest event of biblical understanding. From the time of creation till this very hour, I don't think anything that's ever occurred that's more exciting than this rapture. More breathtaking, more power, more beauty, more everything you can imagine. Everything you can imagine when this rapture takes place. It's just a plain and grand event. And I want you to get that and start making it a focus of your life. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, if you're not looking for him, my friend, I beg of you to get ready. I really do. If you're not looking for him, you must start looking for him. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, this is Steve in Foley, Alabama. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Alabama.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. What do we tell these people when we preaching to these people and they tell us they've been hearing the rapture's coming all their life and they don't believe it's coming? How do we answer that?
That is a good question, and there's a lot of people who feel that way. But I want to tell you, my friend, when people begin to ask that, remember that in itself is a fulfillment of Scripture. Did you know that? When people begin to say that, that's what the Bible says would be the sign of His coming. So you can just say to them, do you know that you are one of the signs that we are at the door? Because it speaks of people that will begin to doubt it and will begin to question it and begin to say, where is the promise of his coming? That's the words that Scripture gives us. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the foundation of the world. That's the answer. So you are hearing a perfect illustration of a Bible fulfillment. I guess my friend's gone. Okay, call us back, please, if I lost you. I don't think I did it. But no question, that's the answer. That's it. The Bible says they will say, where is the promise of his coming? It is a perfect fulfillment that we are there. I mean, it's amazing to me. Everything you find and see out there is similar to that. Now, call quickly. I would love to have one call after the other today, because everybody will enjoy the program better if there are calls. I presume. When there's calls and questions, and we can talk about this because it is breathtaking. It really is. So catching up into the midair, that's going to be the grand event. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. Now, escaping the horrors of the tribulation period is something that we got to spend a little time with today. Escaping the horrors of the tribulation period. And listen, if you don't go in the rapture, almost immediately, and we don't know the days, we don't know the hours, we don't know what little time might transpire from the actual rapture and the disappearance of the saints until all hell breaks loose on this earth. But I'm promising you, it will be very little time in there between those two events. And so if you're not ready, if you're not looking for him, I beg of you to get yourself ready to look for him. Let me give you a scripture. I love this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse, no, 1 Thessalonians, sorry about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 says, and to wait for the Son from heaven. Listen, to wait for the Son. So to the man who says, where is his coming? Just say, wait for him. The Bible says to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivereth, now notice, delivereth us from the wrath to come. I want you to hear that. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and he speaks of Jesus, the Son of God, and we're to be waiting for him. And then he says the reason we're to wait for him is because he delivers us from the wrath to come. The wrath is coming. This is God's wrath falling on this sin-cursed world. God's got to judge every homosexual. God's got to judge every fornicator. God's got to judge every transvestite. God's got to judge every liar. God's got to judge every wicked person. God's got to judge everything that's wicked. And the 7 years of the tribulation is God turns loose his judgment on this earth. It is overwhelming what is going to occur, and we will be talking about that in the next week or two. And I want you to get the picture, so don't miss one of these programs. And don't let your friends miss one of these programs. And share it right now, what you're listening to. Share it with all of your Facebook friends. Send a text to your friends if you're listening by radio, or if you're listening or watching on internet. Send a text to your friends and say, please turn on Brother Chambers and listen, because that's how close we are. I am overwhelmed by how near, but he delivers us from the wrath to come. So you've got to understand that wrath is coming. God is going to judge every ounce of the wickedness in our world. God's going to judge every bit of it. God's going to make sin pay its penalty for what it's done and how it's acted. And nobody can get by. Liars can't get by. All of this crookedness about politicians, they will not get by. I promise you, they will either turn and repent or they'll pay the penalty for it. They will absolutely pay the penalty for it. Now, let's talk about the rapture. The first thing I want you to think about when the rapture occurs is that everybody in that rapture will join with a multitude of saints from 6,000 years. A multitude of saints. The psalmist David will be there. The great prophets of the Old Testament will be there. You will be with the elite of the elite. Not just a bunch of political elites or a bunch of Hollywood elites. You'll be with the sainted elites. You'll be with the best there's ever been. You'll be with the great psalmists. You'll be with the great singers. You'll be with the great musicians. You'll be with the angels of heaven. Listen, friend, if you think about going up in the rapture, it's not just an escape. Somebody say, oh, that's nothing but an escape. Well, it is an escape. But it's so many times more than an escape until it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. So if you go in the rapture, you'll be joining this multitude of sainted people of 6,000 years, whomever and every person that God has found worthy, that God has found honorable, that God has decided is part of this company, and you'll be with them. And you'll be right in the middle of them. And you'll be just as important as King David. You'll be just as important as Jeremiah. You'll be just as important as Malachi. You'll be just as important as John the Revelator. There'll be no little I's and big U's. There'll be many different levels of rewards. And so some rewards will be different than other rewards. And the Bible even speaks of people who lose their reward but are saved by grace. You know, I'm here to tell you, it's going to be something special when you get there. I want you to never forget that. Never forget that. Now, you're going to be crowned king. You're going to be crowned with your reward, but then you're going to help crown Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine being at an event of multitude millions? I mean multitudes. All the sainted, all the godly, all the pure, all the holy. And all together, the moment comes that Jesus is to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine the excitement in the air as the announcement is being made? The time has arrived. It is time to anoint our blessed Savior, the crucified one, the one who took our place on that cross, the one who bore our sins for us, who healed us when we were sick, who forgave us when we were sinners, who loved us through the thick and the thin, and whose grace kept us through the dark places of our life. And we're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that great company stands up and they begin to praise him and honor him. And the glory will just raise until that place will be alive in praise and hallelujah and adoration. Oh, my friend, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Now, I'm just taking you through some things that are going to occur. Then we're going to actually be part of a marriage supper, a great marriage feast. The tables will be so massive and so many. The whole multitude will sit down together at a banquet and feast, and the food will be the kind of food that you and I cannot even imagine. There's no way to even understand a little bit of what it's going to be like. And there'll be this great marriage feast. Everybody likes to go to a wedding, don't you? I know I do. I like to go for the feast. That's not my main reason, but I'm not going to leave before the feast. And I'm excited. This will be a feast of a feast. There's nothing like this one. There is nothing like this one. Joining the elite of the ages. Being with the great angelic host. Being with all the great saints of God. Be with all of those who've died as martyrs. Those who suffered such intensity of tribulation and darkness. And they made it in. And they're there. What a day that's going to be. Now, I want to tell you something that's overwhelming to me. Never thought so much about this till today. But when this marriage feast is occurring, the Father will be there. The Father will be on his throne, and he'll probably be sitting right in the midst of this multitude. And the glory that will be flowing from him will be a glory so intent that it will be overwhelming to your mind and to your thoughts and your being. You'll have a glorified body so you can take all of this in without limitations, without any hindrance. We're talking, friend, about something so overwhelming and so wonderful. Now, I got so many things to tell you that's going to happen at that great marriage supper, that great event. All I can say, you don't want to miss this. And the multitude of today's Christians didn't used to be this way. When I got saved in 1952, 66 years ago in this coming March, there was an intensity about the church that just overwhelmed me. There was a beauty in the house of God that I will never forget. It was so on fire. There was a burning zeal. There was a burning excitement. The saints of God never missed a service unless there was something they couldn't change. I mean, there was no laying out of church, and there was no staying home to watch television, and there was no watching ball games on Sunday night, and there was none of that. The intensity of the church was overwhelming. It was just exciting. I'll never forget. I was just 16 when I was saved 66 years ago. And I remember how excited it was. And I just loved it. I just loved it. I was just a country boy. Couldn't even read. But I knew I'd found the treasure of treasures. And I knew it was something wonderful. But I loved the thought of my father being there. My Father being there, my Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. Now, can you imagine being in a great event with millions of saints? Millions of saints, the angels, every angel will be there, except those that have fallen and followed after the devil. And it will be so beautiful, and the Father will be right in the midst of it. Right in the midst of it. Man, you just can't afford to miss it. Now, can you think of the multitude of angels? The multitude of great angels, huge and beautiful and breathtaking angels. And they will have choirs, and they will have orchestras, and they will have musicians of every make and model. It will be so breathtaking, and the music will be so overwhelming until it will raise an anthem that just envelops the whole atmosphere and fills every person present with a beauty and a glory and a blessedness. Friend, I'm telling you, this world is nothing but a trash pile. This world becomes more and more a gutter every day. I am amazed at what I see. I'm amazed at what I hear. I'm amazed at how dirty people want to live today. And all the abuse of women and the abuse of children. The murders that are going on everywhere. The hatred for the police. I mean, everything is just a picture of evil like I never remember. But I promise you, those multitude of angels will be beautiful. And the wedding will have music. Now, did you know this wedding celebration will last for 7 years? The wedding celebration will last for 7 years. It won't just be one big banquet. Well, it will be one big banquet. But there'll be food, and there'll be singing, and there'll be events going on all over the heavens. And you'll be able to move from one great thing to another. You'll be able to sit down with the saints of ages and have fellowship. I can promise you every saint of God that'll be there will be wanting to meet every other saint of God that's there. There won't be anybody that doesn't want to be a part of everybody that's there. We're talking about something that's breathtaking, that takes your breath away. And I love the thought of all this angelic music. I really do. I'm telling you, we're going to have music that will be so wonderful. People go to singings and they shout and hoop and holler. Many times the singers that are singing live as worldly as they can get away with. And so much of it is just emotion and fanfare. But here, there'll be no emotion and fanfare that's not real. It won't be a bunch of noise. It won't just be a bunch of lyrics. It won't be just people who have trained voices. It'll be godly. Godliness and godly saints and godly beauty, overwhelming, overwhelming. Now, let me tell you something. Most people don't know this, but when the rapture takes place, the Bible says the second heavens are going to fade away. So there'll only be the third heaven where God is, and the earthly heaven, which is our atmosphere above us. And the second heavens will vanish. So that all during this 7 years, you'll be able to see down here, and they'll be able to see up there. I mean, it's going to be an event that you can't escape what evil is going on down here. And they can't escape what heavenliness is going on up there. They'll hear the singing. They'll hear the shouts of hallelujah. They'll hear the triumphant praises. And there'll be vision and evil. The Bible speaks of the devil literally looking up to heaven and cursing it and blaspheming it from the earth. That's how much it will be hated. See, we're talking about an event that is just out of this world. Have you ever really realized that the second heavens pass away? And the Bible speaks of that very clearly. And so the earthly heavens and the heavenly heavens will be so proximic to each other. I didn't say that word good. But be so near each other that literally both directions will see and know what's going on in each direction. I don't know how all of that will transpire, but I just know what the Bible says. And I know it's going to be so breathtaking that it's indescribable. Now, I'm talking on, and I've got plenty to say. But I want you on the phones. I've said something that somebody didn't like. Let me hear from you. I've said something that you do like. Let me hear from you. Grab your phone. 704-391-0588. I like calls. I really do. Did you hear how clear that phone call was a while ago? I love that. trying to get everything straight around here. So grab your phone, and I want to hear from you. I want your question. I want you to say something about what I'm telling you. How about the fact the second heavens vanish, and the first heaven and the third heaven are so close to each other. They're in proximity to each other. And so we'll be able to see each direction, and we'll know what's going on. They'll know what's going on up there. We'll know what's going on down here. But we won't be part of this down here, and they won't be part of that up there. It'll just be the fact that God wants everybody to know how wicked evil is and how it's going to be judged. And he wants the wicked to know what they've missed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being lost and being down here? You can't feed your children because you can't buy without taking the mark of the beast. And your little daughter or son, they're vanishing. They're starving to death. And you're just refusing to take the mark of the beast. And your family probably dies together. But at least you're saved then. You know, I'm telling you, the revival that we've been praying for is probably not going to happen until after the rapture. I'm convinced of that. I hope it does. I'm looking for it any day. I'm doing everything I know to do to have a revival. But I'm beginning more and more to realize it's going to be after the rapture. And it's going to be with the people on earth literally dying to be slaughtered. Dying to be treated like dogs. Dying to die the kind of death that's unimaginable in his horror. Well, it's just going to happen. That's just the way it is. I'm telling you and giving you what is going to happen. Now, I want to tell you that in heaven where the saints will be, among all the great host of the bride of Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost will envelop the heavens. The power of the Holy Ghost will envelop that whole crowd. The greatest moment you've ever had since you were saved will not even compare with the beauty of one moment in that heavenly city. Of one experience of the presence of God that never vanishes. It won't just be a great moving of God's glory and then it kind of dissipates and you go back to the normal. You'll be in that great glory forever. You'll be in that praise and that honor forever and forever. Oh, what a day. What a day that's going to be. Caught up into the glory of God. Caught up into such a majestic glory, a majestic praise, an honor, a beauty, an overwhelming experience. Friend, you've got to hear me when I tell you. I don't want you to miss it. And I wouldn't miss it for this world. There's nothing out there I want anymore. I'm just looking forward to going to heaven. I'm looking forward to seeing my Juanita again. By the way, it's been 5 months today since my sweetheart died. And I miss her every day. And never is there a day. And you say you'll get over it. No, I don't want to get over it. I'm sorry. I don't want to get over it. I just want to keep loving her and missing her and looking forward to seeing her. Now, I'm telling you something, friend. You gotta know what it's going to be like. Now, let me tell you something. You may not think about it if you don't be careful. We'll have glorified bodies. Our bodies will not be subject to any kind of pain, any kind of limitation. We'll move at the speed of an angel. We will be as the angels of God, the Bible said. Did you know that? We'll be as the angels of God. I can't imagine anything so wonderful as being as an angel. And just literally the praise and the glory of the mighty God. Because I'm going to be faithful to the end, and I want you to be. I really do. I want you to be faithful right down to the end. Now, I'm going to take you to something you may have never thought about. At that marriage supper, you will get your reward. What have you earned? What have you been? What have you given yourself for? How faithful have you been? Have you so labored for God that you're going to have a wonderful reward? I hope you have. The Bible warns us not to lose our reward. Did you know the Bible warns us not to lose our reward? It does. Well, let's take a call here. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Dr. Chambers. This is Marvin Francis calling from Charlotte. I just was excited about your word about the rapture. I wondered if you've heard of the Israeli believer and Bible teacher, Amir Tsarfati. He has a ministry called Behold Israel Ministries. And
what's his name?
It's Amir, A-M-I-R.
No, I do not know about it. Does he teach the same thing I'm teaching?
Yes. He was saved seeing the Jesus film when he was in high school, and he's studied the scriptures, and he teaches all over the world. He's a wonderful believer. And he believes that what's happening now in that region with Russia and Iran and Turkey all being in Syria there. He believes that's foreshadowing the Ezekiel
38 and 39
invasion of Israel.
I believe the same thing.
And he thinks the rapture's going to come before that invasion.
Well, I don't think we can prove the rapture is going to come before the invasion. Here's what I say. I say the rapture and that invasion are so synonymous and together, either one of them may come first. Either Christ comes right before the invasion of Gog and Magog, or Christ comes after it, or even doing it. So these two events are both foreshadowed right near each other, and we don't know which will come first. I pray the rapture comes first, but I don't know that. But I can tell you one thing, they are both right at hand. And Russia and Syria and all of those nations, Turkey being in Syria, that's the marching ground. That's the preparation fields. Syria will be where all the armies get together and march toward Israel.
Thank you, Dr. Chambers. I'm excited by your message, and I just wanted to rejoice with you as we look for his coming.
Well, there's nothing so exciting as the coming of the Lord. Now, I want you to stay listening, because I'm going to tell something that I'm really excited about. I feel like the Spirit of the Lord has really shown it to me. So thank you, sir, and God bless you. And hey, anybody out there, give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Want to hear from you, because your question is important. You just heard a good question. I mean, it's good to see these events are just, they're coming right to head together. Right together, same events, well, different events, but coming to head together. That's how close we are to the coming of the Lord. But the world and the church world don't even preach this anymore. How many of you got a church that actually, if you're in a church that does not preach the pre-tribulation rapture, you ought to get out of it. You ought to get out of it. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. If you're not looking for him, you're not going. Oh, you say, whether I'm looking or not, I'll go, oh, no, you won't. I believe the Bible, every word of it. And my Bible says that not one word, not one jot, a tittle will pass away till every bit of it be fulfilled. And I beg of you not to take a chance. Now, let's go a little further. At the marriage supper, you're going to get your reward. So if you're at the marriage supper, you've made it to that point, there's going to be New Jerusalem right there. In fact, the marriage supper will probably be in the city of New Jerusalem. And while you are there at the judgment bar, you will be assigned your estate in that city if indeed you're going to live in New Jerusalem. If you've earned the right to be part of the bride, you will be assigned. There'll be people at this marriage supper that are guests at the wedding, and not actually the bride, but guests. The Bible makes it plain that they're not only the bride, but guests of the bride that will be there. And the bride, though, will get their mansion in the city of New Jerusalem. Now, what's so beautiful? When the wedding supper is over, and all of that's taken care of, and Jesus has got ready to come back to this earth, that bride will come with Christ on white horses and come back to the earth. And we will set up the kingdom of Christ on the earth and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But every member of the bride will already have their home in New Jerusalem. And you'll have the body like an angel. You can travel like an angel. The Bible said we will be as the angels of God, as the angels of heaven. And so you'll go from the earth to your city, your mansion in Jerusalem at will. You'll be able to be right here on the earth, rule whatever God gives you to rule. But then you'll have your mansion, your estate in the city, and you can go backwards and forward as time gives you and as responsibilities afford you. And it'll be so hallelujah. That's so overwhelming to me to think that I'll have my beautiful mansion in the city of New Jerusalem. Let me tell you, yesterday or day before, I can't remember which, I went to a gallery, an artistic gallery. I'm trying to find a picture to go over the mantle in my home, because I'm taking care of the piece that's up there, which is not a picture, but something else. And so I want a picture. Someone stole mine. I had a beautiful picture, and somebody broke into my house and got a bunch of things, and that picture was one of them. So I was looking for a picture. And lo and behold, here was this beautiful mansion. I mean, this palace, and it's in Germany. In Germany. I've never seen a palace so beautiful. And I thought, now that's gotta be just like my mansion is gonna look in the city of New Jerusalem. You say, Brother Chambers, now, are you longing for the, oh friend, there won't be no cabins there. If anybody sings in your church, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land, you stop them, because there's no such thing as cabins there. You've never seen such palaces. You've never seen such majestic beauty. You've never seen things so out of this world. My friend, heaven is going to be a place beyond glory. And we will be in our mansion during the 1,000-year millennial reign. I love that. I love that. Now, think about think about going to heaven in the rapture. Think about what you would miss if you don't go to heaven in the rapture. Now, you may get saved during the first half of the tribulation period, and then you'll be guest at the wedding, but you won't be part of the bride. If you don't go in the rapture, you cannot be part of the bride when the pre-tribulation rapture is over. And if you go because you repent and you get things straightened out during the first half of the tribulation period, then you'll go to heaven in the middle of the tribulation. And you'll be guest at the wedding, but you won't be part of the bride. I want to be part of the bride. I want to live in New Jerusalem. So the guests will not be part of the bride, and they will not have a mansion in New Jerusalem. They will be guests at the wedding, and they'll be assigned a place in God's great eternal heavens. And they'll have they'll be in heaven. They'll be blessed. They won't be sorry they're there. I promise you that. But the bride alone will live in the city of New Jerusalem. And most people don't even understand that. If you have a question about that, I'm glad for you to call me. I can prove it to you in the Bible. I don't preach anything but what's in the Bible. I don't play no games with Scripture. I'm right in the book, right in the book, and I stay right in the book, and I preach what is right in the book. Now, I've got about 12 minutes, and I want to answer questions for the whole 12 minutes. I'm trying to give you some degree of grasp on what is awaiting you if you go in the rapture. I'm trying to make you know that you're talking about the grandest moment in human history. Nobody can be honored like the bride will be honored. The highest of honor. The elite of the elite, if you don't mind calling them that. The saints of the ages who've given everything for Christ. Who had no selfishness in their bones. They were sold out for the Lord. They took up their cross and followed Him, as the Bible said. They just gave it all. And that's what my sweetheart Juanita did. And that's what I'm striving with all my heart to do. I can't wait to get there for that wedding supper. If it could start tomorrow, I would be a happy man. If today I would begin suddenly hear the trumpet sounding and knew that the rapture was taking place, I'd throw both hands in the air and say, it's time to go. I would not tell this world goodbye. I don't have any lost love for this wicked world. I promise you that. I love the unsaved. I love the believers. I love God's people. I love God's church. I love God's kingdom. I love to sing God's songs. I love everything that has to do with this Bible and with the Lord. But this world does not have any part of me, and they're not going to have any part of me. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. I'm getting ready to go up in that rapture. If you all caught up in buying many homes and buying many cars and making great sums of money and wanting more and more and more, you better sell out to Christ. You better get lost on the cross. You better get committed to the way of the Lord and take up your cross and follow Him. Am I helping you? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get you warned, friend. You don't want to miss this. And I read again what I read at the beginning. And there shall be, I'm sorry, for as a snare shall it come on all them. If you join me late, listen. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's Jesus talking. That's in the book of Luke 21, verse 35. the book of Luke 21, verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. Pray always. I pray every day, day and night. I go about my life praying. I wake up in the night praying. The Bible said, and watch you therefore praying always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Listen, count it worthy. Who counts you worthy? He does. Certainly isn't no human being that will do that. Only the Lord can count you worthy. And only you can prove your worth. Only you can be faithful so that you will be worthy. Only you can sell out wholly to Christ. Sell out totally to the Lord. I get so bothered at people who are part of the church. You can't get them in church regular. You can't get them to come on Wednesday night. You can't get them to get excited about faithfulness in the house of God. They go and come like it's just a world of their own pleasure and their own joy, their own funds, and don't understand it. I'm crying out to you, get serious. Get on fire. The Bible says, and I read in closing today, I'm waiting for other calls. I wish you would call and ask me a tough question. Call and chew me out if you want to. Brother Chambers, you're too hard. No, I'm just right with the Bible. Do you want me to be anything but right with the Bible? I hope you don't. I mean, really, what else is there to live for except the Holy Bible? What else do you care about? You love the pleasures of the world? You love the movie theaters and the dance halls and the beer joints, and you love the nasty jokes, and you're a fornicator or a sodomite or a careless liver. Oh, I'm begging you to come to Christ in total surrender. I'm begging you to give it all to Him. I really am. I pray that you will. Now, let me read you something. You say, Brother Chambers, what do you believe? I believe the Bible. It says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I beg of thee, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest really be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest really be clothed. And that thou shame appear not, or do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Listen now. As many as I love, I chasten. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I like that, don't you? I know thy works, that thou neither hot nor cold. I know thy works, that thou neither cold nor hot, it says. I was backwards. I would thee, thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You ought to be cringing if you're living a careless life. You ought to be weeping if you're not born again. You ought to be just brokenhearted if you're not sold out to Christ. It needs to get a hold of you, and I'm praying for that. I promise you, I'm praying for that, because I want you saved. I want you ready to meet God. I want you living close to the cross. I want you on fire with the things of the Lord. It's a joy to belong to Him. This world don't have nothing to compare with the joy of being His. Nothing. There is nothing out there to compare with this. I promise you that, friend. There really isn't. And Jesus is everything. Now, I'm going to pray while you're calling, because I want to take two or three calls right quick. Grab your phone. Father, I love you. I'm weeping for my audience today. Father, I hope they can see the passion of my heart. I hope they can see how burdened I am for the troubled, careless, and casual and cheap living of this generation of religious people. I pray that you'll open their minds and their hearts, that the rapture is any moment. It's absolutely imminent, God. It could be over before I finish this broadcast with only 6 minutes to go, Father. That's how close we are. And I'm crying out to you, Lord. I really am. I'm crying out to you, Lord, for my friends and my loved ones and my listeners all over the world. I beg of you to get serious. I beg of you to find you a place to pray. Go to an on-fire church tomorrow. I would love to have you at Paul Creek. God's helping us. We're making progress. We're praying for a Holy Ghost revival. We finally have our building paid for. Just made the last payment. We all have a few thousand in different obligations. And then we'll be then we'll be money free, or debt free. And I'm thanking God for that. But I need you to help me so we can get these last radio bills paid. I'm praying right now, Lord, do you want me to stay on radio? Do you want me to stay on radio? How long do you want me to stay, Lord? I'm 82, you know, and I'm willing to stay. But I got to know from the Lord, and I got to know from you. So I'm doing a survey now for the next few weeks to find out how many people will say, Brother Chambers, do not go off of internet. Do not go off of Facebook. Do not go off of the radio. So whichever one you listen to, I want a letter from you, and I want a gift from you. Because I want all these last bills paid. I want to get out from under this obligation. I've been under it too long. I don't even see how I've made it all these years. But God has helped me, and I've been faithful. And I want you helping me know what to do. I want to hear your vote. I want to hear your opinion. And I want you in church tomorrow. Man, would I like to have you to preach to in the morning. I'm going to preach from the fourth chapter of Revelation tomorrow. That's where I'm going to preach from. And I'd love to have you here to hear the word of God. And I promise you, when the service is over and you have questions, I'll take time to answer them, because I care that much about every one of you. Not just a few of you, but every one of you. And I am grateful that you're hearing the word and that you're listening. I hope you'll share this now with everybody you know. Before you hang up your computer, you hit that share button and send it out to hundreds of people so that we help them know and hear what we are saying and get them ready for the coming of the Lord. Now remember, Revelation chapter 4. Remember, the Bible says that John saw a door opened in heaven. That's the rapture. Then he heard a trumpet like a voice, and the trumpet said, come up hither, calling John up. Remember now, there's no other place in the Bible that there's a door open except in the book of Revelation following this event. And there's no other time where the Bible says, come up hither. No other time except in the book of Revelation following this very event. I'm here to tell you. So the open door, and then the come up hither, then the Bible said, the Bible made it plain, he was caught up and heard the Lord say, I want to show you things which shall be hereafter. Immediately the Bible said he was caught up. It wasn't no waiting around. When that trumpet sounds, we're gone, friend. As one man said, when I hear the toot, I'm going to scoot. When I hear the toot, I'm going to scoot. When I hear that sound, I'm ready to go. I'm not hanging around to say goodbye. I won't be on the internet the next Saturday to say goodbye to you. Cause friend, I'll be gone. I'm leaving here. I'm waiting to go. And I want you to go. I want everybody out there listening to me to go. I don't want one of my grandchildren, one of my family members. I don't want to hear one of my friends. I don't want to hear one of my cousins. Whatever you are, friend, I don't want you to miss the rapture. I want you to go. Now, if you're not ready, I'm here to tell you right now, it's a simple matter. The blood of Jesus will wash you from every sin and every transgression. The blood of Jesus will make you pure. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Nothing can do that but the blood. Nothing will wash away your sins but the blood. The blood of Jesus alone. Would you surrender to him now? Let's have a moment where you come to Christ, where you just stop what you're doing and you bow your head and you repent of your sins. I'm going to lead you in prayer. Father, I turn from my sins with all of my heart. Father, I turn to you with everything in me. Father, I'm going to my Bible and I'm going to get right in the book. And Father, I'm going to go and get in a good church and I'm going to become a faithful church member. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to love the Bible. I'm going to be a witness to others about Christ. And I'm going to serve you, Father, with all of my heart. I'm going to live for you, Father, with all of my heart. I'm going to serve you, Jesus, and you're going to be the Lord of my life. And I'm going to wait for you to fill me with the Holy Spirit until I am a Spirit-filled Christian. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that prayer. Do you pray it now? Do you say yes to him? Do you surrender all? Will you let him forgive you of your sins right now? The blood will wash them away. The blood will make you as pure as if you have never sinned. He will change you from heart to heel. He will change everything about you and make a new creature out of you. I pray that you will be in the house of God tomorrow. I would love to have you with me. I promise you that. I would love to have you at Paul Creek. You remember, we'd love to have you. We'll treat you good. We'll love you with all our heart. I promise you, we'll love you with all our heart.
flight to Beulah Land. How I'm longing for.
About you, but I'm shouting hallelujah. Woo!
And someday on the house stand.
I got to shout a little bit. Amen.
There my home shall be
eternal.
Eternal.
Beautiful.
Oh,